adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Dave Navarro is
Howdy.
Our guest tonight. Good to see you again, Dave.
Good to see you, too.
We'll talk a little about Till Death Do Us Part on MTV, 10:30s, Wednesday nights.
Yeah, in fact, halfway through this program, if you want to turn this off, just turn it on MTV, be my guest.
Leave the sound up.
You don't have to turn this off, you just turn that on. I was talking to Dr. Drew about Dave's Enema episode. Some episodes.
It was the colonic episode.
A difference between a colonic and enema, Drew, first off.
More water.
The amount of water I was going to go with.
And where? And I was asking Drew, you know, these women, it's always that same sort of heavy set, Eastern Bloc chick, yes?
Not where I go.
Well, what? What was I looking at?
This is like the female roster of the Screen Actors Guild, where I go.
I'm not talking about the clientele.
Oh,
I'm
you're talking about
the person who
that
puts,
is true.
The business end of the hose and the tukai.
That is true.
It's always that sort of, it's that short, you know, they're sort of the female, they're equivalent to Soviet gym coaches.
Yeah.
You know, they're perpetually 53.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that person has never been seen at 28,
true. I actually
and
met,
never seen him at 75.
The woman who performed mine, I met her like 12 years ago, and she looks exactly the same today as she did 12 years ago.
This is what I say about never having a prime. You don't get burned.
You don't get good, you don't get bad.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than that, you know, that hot blonde who was the belle of the ball, and then you see her at the reunion, and she's all sunblasted, and the wheels have come off the wagon, you know, years of smoking and lying out have taken their toll. These chicks, they never
But eventually someone in her life is going to say, you look great.
And then she'll listen
to
it. Yeah. Well, this guy.
I don't know if that day's come yet, but, you know, soon enough.
Are there hot? Eventually,
it's going to get to catch up with her where she will look better than her peers.
She'll be 83, and she'll look like she's 59, and someone will tell her she looks great.
There you go.
It'll be a long 83 years up until that point. But Dave was getting the colonic, not the high colonic. That's a... That's an aftershave, right?
I was thinking that was, yeah.
No, high colonic, is that, what is that? That goes up further?
Just more fluid, I imagine.
And what do they put in there, Dave?
From my understanding, it's water. It's different temperatures of water.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes they have saline in them, which I don't really know what that does. But essentially what they do is, for those of you listening at home, it's a tube that gets inserted rectally,
mm-hmm.
and they flush your colon out.
Mm-hmm.
And they have lots of persuasive material to get you to do this.
Oh yeah!
And you go in this, laying around the waiting room.
And do they? How much do they pump through you? Do they tell you? How do they know when you're done? When the water's clear?
You kind of let them know. Yes, when the water's clear. But you let them know when you're feeling like you've had enough.
Oh really?
And I like to always push it one step further.
Yeah.
You know, and how I like long? To live on the edge.
How long do you stay on the edge?
It's about a 45-minute process.
Mm-hmm. I never done it, you know, in a professional environment. I have totally done it with a jacuzzi jet before. And I can tell you, there are medicinal
really?
Uses.
Well, I'm not sure that was all medicinal, though. Sort of
slightly
of,
erotic.
No, he used it for violent purposes.
Some of it was payback.
And, yeah, payback, violent.
Yeah, because...
he'd
Dave,
fill up and spout
stop,
off.
Stop me if I'm wrong. I don't know how. I don't know if they put it in and pull it out or how it works.
Right.
But if you got a full load down there,
yeah.
that thing come out like a fire hydrant.
It's coming out.
I mean, it's coming out.
Oh yeah, it's coming out.
Yeah, people. It's not like
well,
it's not like you're taking a leak after a night of beer drinking or something. It's you know you got a steady stream.
It's under pressure.
It's coming out like you know what an elephant does.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
No, but it's actually
out his trunk.
Me and the doctor were talking about how there is really no medicinal benefit to a process such as this.
It's outside,
and that's what he's. I still don't understand the outside the body part. We were talking about
when
that
you're
before.
When you're developing. Your body sort of involutes to form things like your gut.
Okay.
And they remain outside your body. Things inside your body bleed when you go in.
Okay.
Right? Because you're entering into a sterile space.
Right, but
colon,
if...
Colon, mouth, esophagus, stomach, that's all outside your body. It's contiguous with the external world. The bacteria that live outside live in there.
But it still has to pass through.
It's a tube. It's just a tube.
I know, but what happens when the tube gets, for instance... The same thinking would go with, like, when there's an artery
No,
clot.
That's... No.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
even
no,
though
no.
That's clearly inside the body, what I'm saying is...
I don't think he knows what you're saying.
No, that would be like saying, hey, this dirt stuck on my skin. I got to
No, but what
off.
I'm saying is you need to clear the tube sometimes.
You got to blow the tube out.
But that's you got to blow the tube out.
True, blow
it's,
the
it's
tube.
No different, it's the same as saying I need to clean the dirt off my hands. It's just.
I certainly do that every day.
Okay, but the problem with that is you've got bacteria that get on your eye, and that sort of stuff gets in your body.
All
but
right.
Stuff is outside your body. It's outside
How
your body.
Much? How much for the enema?
We're talking about 90 to 100.
Yeah, you go to the shrink, you sit there, you lie to him for 40 minutes, it costs the same.
An expensive day is to go to the shrink and then follow it with the enema.
Oh, no, I doubled that. I do it the same.
Two
enemas? My shrink has enema sofa.
So that's a good tip.
Yeah, you got to hit it. You got to hit it just the right angle and there can be trouble.
The interesting thing when I went is there was this blonde woman who did this craniology thing, which, you know, I don't know what they, you know, it's one of those things. You ever seen those guys that say, put out your hand and I'll ask a question and they push down, they can't push it, and then they say they do something and then they can push it down all of a sudden.
Right.
And you know they're just actually pushing harder?
Right.
It's one of those, right? So the craniology lady comes in and starts rubbing your head, and then all of a sudden you can release better. I don't know if the lady flips a switch or something happens.
Oh, really?
But this woman...
It's like a pressure point.
Exactly.
And you go like a flipper.
And I'm not sure if I'm buying into that, but let me tell you something. This chick is so hot that comes in and does the craniology.
That's where you go.
It's worth the $90.
That's where you go.
And probably a lot of hot, kooky clientele. And, well,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, beautiful Hollywood
chick. You know, and
I'm
married now, you know, so I really got to... You know, for me, like going to the gym and going to get a clonic is like, that's like going to a nightclub for me.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying to Drew.
But, I mean, if somebody's constipated, it's an enema, and they'll feel better.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. All
right.
And I believe that you also lose a lot of water weight.
Uh-oh. Well, you do.
You definitely walk out of there feeling skinnier.
If you use water, H2O only, there's an osmotic pressure for things to come across the colon back into the water. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you walk out of there, your pants are looser, and in some circles, that's a good thing.
I'm
that's
sold. I'm grabbing one tonight.
But that's the issue. That's motivates some people to do
I perform them at my place if you would like to, you know, after we
swing
get
by.
Done.
Well, listen, all you got to do is head out tonight and spread your cheeks. You're going to get an enema because it's coming.
Hey, we got to talk about the poker thing, won't we?
Oh, yeah. Drew and I played at the...
World Poker Tour thing.
A lot of big celebrities there. A lot of not too big celebrities there.
Did you play with anyone that you had been wanting to meet?
Celebrity-wise or poker guy-wise?
I mean, the legends of poker were there. I mean,
yeah, that must
crazy
be cool.
Legends.
They asked me to do that, but my understanding was you have to win at little tables and move along.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's a multiple-day process.
Yes.
I didn't want to commit to that.
Don't worry,
we had made no such commitment.
You were out the first day.
I was sitting at a table with an actor named Richard, can't remember, from one of the fourth guys from Spin City.
Right. Exciting.
And the dad from Reba.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, you know, I couldn't concentrate.
It was intimidating.
I was like a schoolgirl.
It's not like playing with Pacino or anything.
I didn't even know who anyone was. And then, of course, all the poker guys, of course, I hadn't heard of them. But here's what I've learned about poker guys. Turns out, not exquisite conversationalists. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys play poker.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
At my table, they're very chatty with one another.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They play with each other every day. They see each other all the time.
But was it what you would call stimulating discourse, or is it just guys talking about
if it's
chips?
Like if it's like hardcore poker players, a lot of them, that's part of their game is, you know, some guys have a real like stone face, that's their game, and they don't want to give away any tells. And then there's some guys that are real chatty to kind of distract you from your hand.
A lot of talk about television.
I was just, here's what I did,
table.
Is I sized up my table, and I thought, I'm not going to win, yeah. A, number one. B, number two. I don't really want to win because I'm sitting, like, here's
You'd
me,
have to go for the following day for more, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or just that day. Like, here's the deal. You know, when I play cards, it's to get drunk and to fart on people. not to do anything else. It's a social thing.
Yeah.
Like, you have a card game.
You don't necessarily need to play cards to do that, frankly.
Well, he'll do that tonight.
I know, but here's the thing. If you do the stuff like that Jimmy and I would do without the cards, it would be gay. It's like, I couldn't say, hey, come on over so I can fart on you. We can get drunk and I'll fart on you.
Substantiates
the behavior. You got to have some cards and some chips and stuff like that. But see, you invite 6-8 guys you like, and you end up talking and having a good time and getting drunk and whatever. You eliminate that element of it, it's just you sitting with 6-8 guys you're not really going to see again, and you're not, you know, you don't know. Then an hour feels like, seems like you've been sitting there for a little while. There's no music playing. There's no, you know, you're not trading stories. So I just figured, look, I ain't going to win. So, and even if I do win, I'm not going to advance to the end. I'm just going to sit here for 5.5 hours, a bunch of guys I don't want to sit with. So I'm just start betting like an idiot, see if I can get myself out of here. And, of course, the three times I did that let it ride thing on the really bad hand, they flipped a good card.
All in to win.
Like,
all in to win every
I kept
time.
Winning. But eventually I got out, and Drew got out about the same time.
Yeah.
It's, that's the problem with the low-limit tables when you go down to Commerce, because I go down to Commerce Casino quite
often. That's where we were today.
Okay, so I play down there. I play stud. I don't play hold'em.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play at the low-limit tables, you know, a card is, you know, $2, $4, $6. And it's really very cheap to get an X card to better your hand. So, like, the high-limit tables are where, you know, it's really going to hurt you to buy a card if you don't really have a hand. And that's where
it was $2,000 sometimes to stay in the game.
Yeah, that's a great game.
Oh, yeah. It's good times. But again, you know, Monopoly money.
Yeah, it wasn't ours. Yeah.
Was there a charity involved?
Yeah.
What was your charity?
Hillside Home for Children, which, by the way, their benefit is this weekend.
That's right. Not going to that either. Yeah. I didn't pick a charity. I'm like, are you kidding? I'm not getting that far.
I'm doing celebrity poker, whatever that is, with I'm doing Elizabeth Glazer Foundation.
Nice.
Oh, that's
pediatric AIDS.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Rachel?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew. Hi, Dave.
What's up?
Dave,
hi, Rachel.
First, I want to say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Dave, I want to say that you and Carmen are the hottest couple, like, ever, and you guys totally deserve each other.
Thanks so much, Rachel.
You're welcome.
I agree.
Very lucky man.
I know this.
My question is, all right, I was raped when I was 16. But I don't feel as, like, traumatized as most rape victims seem to feel. Like, my thought on it is, I'm not going to obsess over it. I'm not going to walk through life saying, oh, I was raped, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was wondering if this is an okay way of thinking or if I should still, like, try to get some therapy.
Rachel, this is how we know that you are not a good victim, that you had not been previously victimized.
Okay.
Is that true? You weren't sexually abused or anything growing up?
Nope.
Yeah. Is people that were victimized will often have post-traumatic stress symptoms. It will resurrect everything from the past. And their behavior around the trauma will be sort of predictable. They won't report it. They'll hide it from everybody. They'll feel responsible for it. Mm-hmm. And when it happens, they will freeze.
Oh.
The freeze reaction is something that's sort of indoctrinated into their brain from long in the past.
Oh, okay.
In your case, you had an accident. What happened?
I was at a party with a friend of mine, and I was drinking, and I fell asleep. I just went into one of the rooms and fell asleep, and I was a virgin at the time. Mm. And I woke up, like, I had extreme vagina pain, and I was like, what the hell? And this guy was on top of me. So I started punching, kicking, breaking his nose and all that, and then I just left and went home.
Did you really break his nose, Rachel?
I did.
Congratulations.
Good for you.
See, this is, please, everybody, listen to Rachel. Listen how different that story is to the ones we normally get on Loveline.
A few.
See how profoundly different that is. She beats the holy S out of this guy.
A few more pounds of pressure, those bones would have gone right up into the brain. You could have knocked them out forever.
Rachel, next time.
But let me, can I also tack on some of this? The other thing, Rachel, that I've learned about, you know, not feeling as dramatically affected by a certain tragedy as you would expect to. Mm-hmm. Don't judge your feelings. If you feel the way you feel, cool, good for you.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm going to college, making a better life for myself. And
that's what you got to do.
Rachel.
And don't feel guilty for not feeling bad.
Here's the deal. She's like had a some sort of acid test for emotional health and passed.
Yeah,
it's just there. It is.
Yeah. Well, listen, you can't prevent. Look, you can be parked at a stoplight and some drunk driver can T-bone you.
That's
you
right.
can't do anything about that in life, but it's how you react to it. Does it destroy your life? Do you drive again? Do you can you leave your house? That's the part you can control, and she passed the test.
And most good victimizers, though, pick good victims. This guy's radar was off.
Well, he just saw some chick who was passed out.
But, you know, it's uncannily.
We call those targets of opportunity.
In your world.
In the business, yeah. Patrick?
Yes?
You're 20. What's up?
Just first to let you guys know, because I know the way you guys are by listening to you. Before I tell you my story, I am not gay, nor have I ever stuck anything up my rectum ever in my life.
Oh, whoa. Come on. Dave's right. Dave's right here.
I can translate the sentence, I'm not gay. Which generally translates into I'm gay.
Here's, yeah, if you protest too much.
He's gay.
Here's the guy's question, which smacks of boguosity me, which is, says he's a vegan who joined the Marines, and they forced him to eat dairy, and it has a pain in his butt.
No.
This is obviously Bo. I was just looking, and I never even look at the calls at Bo. There's not a vegan on the planet that would join the Marines. It's a totally different human being.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who join the Marines are guys like Patrick. Guys like Patrick. Aren't vegans.
Not to mention the Marines, they wear leather boots, so it just doesn't work for a vegan.
There you go. Patrick.
No leather anymore.
We'll see you in hell, jackass. They're not all leather anymore, but they have the leather heel and the leather front. They went to a lighter nylon construction, but they do have the leather.
There you go.
Many animals have died in the process of producing that nylon.
Oh, my God. Think of all the animals that die in war anyway. Just getting shot. You know
burned.
What I mean? Oh, my God. All right, let's talk to Randy, who's 17, who's joining the Army. It's a theme. Randy?
Yeah, I was in Arkansas for a little while at a Job Corps, mm-hmm. and I met this girl up there named Casey, and we were together. I went up there when I first turned 16.
Hold on. By the way, Job Corps is prison with a rake. Essentially, it's outdoor prison.
Right.
It's look. Either
you go home.
Either going to prison, or you got to go outside and trim brush. That's
but are you able to go home and?
Eventually,
eventually.
I'm always unclear about that.
Say straight.
Can you, Drews? Don't talk about the book unless you're going to talk about the book.
Yeah. What they tell you about Job Corps ain't the truth.
Well, what did they tell you about Job Corps?
They told me you can get anything up there and you can do what you want. It's kind of free, but it's not.
What'd you do for Job Corps?
Get on your knees, scumbag!
You took welding?
Yeah, and machinery.
All right.
I think probably the interaction with Casey might be a little bit more fascinating.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyways, we've been hitting off. So, anyways, after about 9 months, she got pregnant. And now I'm joining this, you know, for my son. Because he needs a better life than what I'm doing.
Well, you're 17.
Wow.
You know, it's
he
a little
sounds like a
grizzled veteran
from Vietnam or something.
When you've loved and lost like Randy over here, when you've seen friends dying,
then you know what life's really all about.
Yeah, at 17. Jesus Christ, Randy.
Yeah,
buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is what happens, by the way. You guys, you have these lives where you get a little hiccup and a stumble out of the blocks. Then you compound everything by cranking out a kid, and now you're screwed. Now you're the world's oldest 17-year-old.
Yeah.
17 going on 44. You want to join the Army for your kid. But what about you learned welding at the Job Corps? You know, welding's not a bad gig.
Yeah, but you don't
make
it as much.
Yeah, but you could become a welder.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. But
well, that's
hold on a second. First off, what do you think you make in the Army?
Well, I know I make a lot more.
A lot more?
Than a welder?
Wait, was the question whether or not I'm still...
Wait, you're still welding for Job Corps?
No, I'm at a Job Corps. I graduated last year. That's
and where,
I
awesome.
Here.
Where are you welding?
I'm welding at my grandpa's shop.
Oh. Well, you got to tell your grandpa to pay you.
Well, he is.
Okay, look. Here's what I'm saying to you, Randy. Okay, hold on.
Randy, why don't you just hang with the kid and be a dad?
Okay, here's the deal. A welder makes a decent hourly rate, especially if you get into a union and you start doing some commercial work, some construction. You'll make 25, 30, 35 bucks an hour, and you get all kinds of benefits. You join the Army... You're going to get $875 a month. You see what I'm saying? Now, he's 17 years old. He if he said he wanted to join the Army to get a little discipline or to learn a skill or something, I'd be all for it.
This isn't that.
If you're doing it to step up financially, you want to get in a higher bracket, going to the Army is just it's a little below hobo on the pay scale. I mean, they pay for everything. That's why it's a good deal, but they don't pay you anything.
Hmm.
All right. Randy, if he's 17, he's trained as a welder, he'd do his apprenticeship.
He sounds like a mature 17-year-old also.
Not mature, grizzled.
Grizzled, yeah, mature.
Sounds like an old miner. Get it? Miner.
Yeah.
Randy?
E-R.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, anyways, I'll be making like $1,500 to $1,800 a month.
What's your grandpappy paying you right now?
It's about $8 an hour.
$8 an hour. That's a minimum wage out here for a welder. Listen, how about you go down to your local union hall, try to get yourself a job as a like an apprentice, you know? You're getting like $18 an hour and benefits. You do that for like a year and a half, and then next
30.
Thing you know, you become a journeyman, and you'll be 22, 23 years old. You'll be running crews.
Yeah, there you go, Randy.
This is what I'm...
All right, listen.
Oh,
I can't
hear it. Why can't he hear that?
I don't know.
Let me tell you something about being dumb.
Yeah.
Dave, listen. Not you, but you know dumb people.
Yes, I know plenty of them. I've worked with many.
I've said it many times on this show. Part of being dumb is not,
it's not listening
that you
to
don't
smart
have
people.
Your own good ideas. Yeah. It's that you don't listen to other people's good ideas or prudent ideas. You know, look, I'm not going to invent anything. I'm not going to come up for the cure to cancer or AIDS or anything like that. But I will listen. If someone has a good idea, I'll use it. I'll make it my own. I'll get just as much use out of it as they will. And that'll make me smart, or at least smart by default. I'm using smart people's ideas. Dumb people can't hear anything but their own horrible. They got like a bass drum that's just dumb, dumb, dumb.
I know, but what does that say about somebody who calls a phone number to a radio station and hangs on hold for 20 minutes and then asks a question and still doesn't hear it?
Dumb. Dumb. Now, that just becomes...
I mean, that's like effort to find the answer that you're not listening to.
Right. Yeah.
So
right.
He gets an A for effort and D for dumb.
Yeah. Dave Navarro, everybody. Better radio host than Dr. Drew in the 10 minutes he's been sitting here. All right, are we rolling along here?
We're taking a break.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Dave Navarro here, Till Death Do Us Part.
Yes, sir.
His lovely wife. Wait a minute. Now, did you guys get married?
Yeah, we're married.
Okay. Carmen Electra, 10:30, Wednesday nights. MTV.
It's on in about 9 minutes, MTV.
All right. You leave the show on, you turn the thing on. Or you TiVo it.
TiVo it.
Well, you know, it's always funny, like, when people, I don't know, as I say this, like, you know, when people give you an answer without giving you the answer, like you say to one of your jerk-off buddies, you go, hey, you got that TiVo yet? And they go, Tebow? See, that means no.
No, you don't
that
have it.
That means no. That's all you need. All right, we'll take a friend of mine said that to me. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Get ready for action.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dave Navarro.
Dave Navarro in the studio.
In studio. Dave has joined us. Dave has taken time out of his busy schedule.
We're back with Dave Navarro.
Join us in our studio. We're back on Loveline with Dave Navarro. Part two with
Dave
Navarro.
It's good to be back here, by the way, you guys.
Really?
Yeah, you both look fantastic. I'm serious.
Well, you know what's nice about this show is we get to see people, and we get to, it's nice because, it's like, if you see someone every day, you don't notice when they've lost 40 pounds. It melts off 2 ounces a day, and it's no big deal. We see people incrementally a year at a time, year and a half at a time, and it's nice. And sometimes we see them heading up and heading down or whatever. And I would say Dave and Carmen, we've both felt that we've seen do a nice, steady climb with a nice diet of therapy and enemas and everything. You and Carmen are both sort of felt, at least Drew, stop me if I'm wrong here. But
big foundation.
Both were on the hoppity horse of life. Not quite sure what direction you're going to bounce next.
Absolutely true.
Stabled out a little a few years ago, and now it's not enough just to...
Now we're living the dream.
Right. Yeah, and it's nice. So God bless you.
Thank you.
Give our love to Carmen.
I will.
Wednesday nights, by the way, which is tonight, 10:30.
Yeah,
which
2 minutes from now.
2 minutes from now, you can...
You can tie-bow that thing.
Until
with that Billy Blanks.
Tebow. Christina?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh.
What's the matter, Christina?
What's the matter, baby?
Well, pretty much, I've been going out with my boyfriend for a year, and I don't know, I'm very strict on the underwear rule, meaning we have no sex.
I mean, it doesn't come off. The underwear does not come off.
Well...
How old are you?
This is embarrassing to say. I'm 21.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And AI, so you're strict on the underwear rule.
Yeah, because I believe I should save myself till I'm married.
Yeah, well, this boyfriend of yours is a very virtuous man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I think there's more to the story.
Is there? Well, if patience truly is a virtue,
how
he's
long?
Been in there for a year.
Oh, he's hanging in a year, okay.
That's what I'm just saying.
How old is he?
He's a year older than me, so he's 22.
22, all right.
Wow.
And so
right.
What's going on now?
Well, me and him got kind of, like, really into it at one point, and pretty much my panties were off, and he was on me, and we were grinding, and half of his penis went in me. Half of it.
Which part?
Fully.
The good half.
Folded.
I don't know.
That to try to get little girl.
Okay, so what happened? This is. Dim the lights in here for a minute.
No, pretty much I pushed him off, and because I was scared.
Sure.
And
scared of what?
I don't know. Just like. I don't know, at the moment, it hurted, and I was scared.
Okay, all right.
By the way, I don't want to correct you, but it's hurted-ed. Hurted-ed.
Done hurted.
It done hurted.
Was it fear, or was it excitement? Sometimes the two can...
Pretty much.
Fearful.
Fearful.
Yeah, so I don't... My question
all right,
is...
Christina.
I don't know if I'm a virgin yet, or...
Let's just say you are, but...
If it's halfway, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll give you a pass.
Yeah. Was there a hymen? If there's a
what
hymen
about the
breakage,
hymen? Where's
well,
the hymen?
For us,
it's got to be busted by now anyway through some other event, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
But our whole thing is did the penis cross the plane?
That's how mine went. Drew, you know that's how mine went, right?
I know. Sorry.
I love when you tell that story, though. We should get into that later. It's a good story.
So embarrassing. All right, hey, wait a minute. Christina.
Yeah.
Well, let's just sort of flip all the cards over. You're 21-year-old woman. You sound like you're 11. Something's up. I don't know what's up. Did your dad die when you were 7
no.
or something? Were you traumatized at a young age?
No.
No? Are you Amish or Quaker?
I'm not Amish. I'm Catholic.
But did you? You sound so naive.
Let's shift gears for a second.
Well,
yes.
I do.
The same passion of the Christ.
I'm naive, though. He does. He doesn't trust me with the being around his guy friends, for example, because he says that they like me and this, and he starts pretty much telling me not to hang with his friends because he doesn't trust his own friends, and I don't know, it's weird.
No, it's not weird. He shouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. But what about your family? Your parents together?
Yeah, they're together. I grew up with a big family.
How many?
All together, 5.
Okay, and were you living in the country or something?
Altogether, 5.
My brothers and sisters.
That's a huge brood, Drew.
Do you mean you have
my
4 brothers?
And sisters, 5, and my mom and dad. So that altogether was 7 of us. But
okay. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you live in the city?
Yeah.
All right.
All my life, Chicago.
And did you guys make your own dairy products and stuff?
We're not Amish. No.
Okay, and you don't. So you didn't churn your own butter. You never had any head trauma, and you weren't raped at 9.
No, I was not raped at 9. No, I just. I don't know.
You're just an old-fashioned, simple religious person.
I'm not religious, actually. I'm not. Not. It's kind of weird. It's just most likely the respect, you know. Because I want to...
No, Christina, here's the part.
I want to lose it to someone that
yes,
I love, you know?
We get that, and we respect that, and we admire that. But our question is, why in the face of this mishap do you have such difficulty sort of processing what happened? You need such reassurance. It was sort of an accident happened and sort of nearly violated something that was important to you.
Yeah.
Why, you're a 21-year-old woman. Why couldn't you sort of make sense of that for yourself with your friends? You have friends?
Yeah, I do. I have just a couple of like, close friends, not really.
So understand, we're not at all taking issue with your value in
all
remaining
right,
virgin. We are taking issue with why, in
you're
the face
virgin.
Of a mishap, it was so like overwhelming to you.
All right.
You sort of can't process it. Like, oh, my God, what happened to me?
Do you think she goes to school now? Goes to work? She works with, like, stuffed animals or something. Christina?
It's just, yeah, just...
What do you do for a living?
Oh, actually, I'm going to Olympia College for massage therapy.
Ooh. Nice. You know, that could really parlay into something special.
And a virgin will fetch you. You get an extra couple of bucks if you're a virgin.
Money. They make good money.
I do that. Like,
there's
an opening in
Koreatown, actually, at this one place I know.
Oh my God. I always get charged more for virgins.
Do you? You pay more.
Here's the problem. I've gotten the same virgin like 26 times.
I know, but you've only gone in halfway, so it's still okay, right?
And again,
she's still a virgin.
I start in the middle. I cock up and then expand. All right, go to massage school.
You're fine, Christina. Just relax.
And you're fine.
Relax.
All right. There's something going on with her. I don't know what it is. Joseph? Yes. Sorry, Dave. Go ahead. Do you have a question?
It was Nicole.
No, I was just going to suggest the other half.
Oh, the other half of the penis?
Yeah, and see what that does for her.
Yeah. Joseph?
Yeah.
That'd make a hole. There'd be trouble then. What's up, baby?
I'm doing all right. I'm at work right now.
All right. You're 22.
I got a question, and I relate to my girlfriend who lives in Florida. And I met her. She flew down here once to visit, and then she left. And she's kind of an insecure person, and I've been having troubles with her and her mom because her mom beats her and does drugs, and she's an alcoholic.
Oh, boy.
And so I'm not going to have my girlfriend, who I really love, and I've been dating for like 8 months. I'm not going to ever deal with that.
Hold on a second. So. Hold on. How many days have you been in the presence of your girlfriend? Total.
Total?
Face to face, in her presence.
I've been with her for, days-wise, about 15.
15 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not a whole lot of days.
Just when you declare your love and the length of time of this relationship, keep in mind that you really don't know this woman.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend. You really don't know her. And comes from a very serious chaos. She's going to need a lot of work.
Yeah.
Would you guys meet on the internet or something?
And this is going to go over like Mike Tyson raising his tigers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, hey, they're great.
What are the ages? Because I don't have a screen in front of me.
1922.
Okay.
She's 19, he's 22.
She needs to get the hell out of there. She's 19.
Well, she will. I'm sure she'll run away. She's being abused. That's what's going to happen.
And that's not considered abuse in Florida.
It's also not considered running away
at
19.
It's called
child rape. Upbringing.
It's upper middle class. Florida, the alcohol and the beatings. Regular.
Yeah, it's her mom drinks a lot and then tells her how worthless she is and then she beats her.
Yeah,
she's 19. She needs to get out of there.
Yeah, at 19, if someone's beating me, you know, they're going to get beat back and I'm out of there.
I had the same deal with my penis, by the way. Joseph?
Yeah.
How did you meet her? On the internet?
Well, I actually met her through a friend that I know who lives in Florida.
All right.
He goes to Florida State University. He's
really?
A meteorologist, and he met this girl, and then he called me up and told me about her, and so I called her, and we started getting to know each other.
All right. What do you do in that?
If she becomes like a weather, you know.
He's going to be one.
Oh, he's going to be a meteorologist.
I know.
The friend.
Oh, because I always thought like a newscaster or like a weather woman would be kind of hot as your girlfriend.
Oh, it would.
Maybe the big hair and the suits and the whole thing.
No, yeah, she's going to... That'd be a crack whore, but he is going to be meteorologist.
That could be good too, though.
That has its perks. Joseph?
Either way, you win, dude.
What do you do for a living?
For me right now, I'm a consultant.
Oh, hold on. See, Dave, when we hear... Here, when you hear this, when you hear right now...
What do you do for a living, Adam?
Me right now? right now... Right now, it's never run my own law firm.
Right.
Right now. You don't want to hear right now. Like, here's what you don't want to hear. When your daughter brings home a guy, but she's...
Why do we cut him off, though?
To talk about it.
Because we're bored.
But my question is, what if he said, right now, I'm just expecting to finish this degree in medicine so I can go on to...
People don't say that.
It's not going to be that.
People don't say that.
Right now, I'm just about to kick the bar.
Right now, I'm finishing touches on my astronaut training, and then I'll be ready to go into orbit. Joseph.
Yes.
Right now, what are you doing?
I'm a custodian at ASU.
All right, so you're a janitor at the college.
Uh-huh.
And that's a program where you can pay for your education, right?
No, he's not. He doesn't go to school.
It's cheaper than an actual student pays for it.
No, but you're not a student there.
No, not yet.
But it's going to be not right now. But it's going to be like
this is a guy with motivation.
It's going to be like Goodwill Hunting.
No, it's not.
It's going to be like Goodwill Hunting.
He's janitor at this college.
All right, Joseph.
Yeah.
Here's the whole thing, and I'm sure Dave will want to chime in on this one, which is, and this is to all you guys out there who are going to, you know, go to the pound and save a kitten. It's a great impulse.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, someone like this, A, they grew up in Florida, so that's already years of therapy just to get them right, just to get them to be able to assimilate into the outside world. Number two, you got the abusive alcoholic mom is beating them. Mm-hmm.
And she's hanging out for it.
Yelling at them that they're no good, which, by the way, what era is the mom from? The 40s?
Right.
You're no good. What you going to call it? Like, no count? You're no good. The point is you get this woman. She may look great. You may just think, look, all she needs is a shoulder to cry on and a place to feel like she's secure. This will be a handful for you.
Yeah, in the future, let me just tell you this.
Things will come up.
My experience of being the rescuer, which is validating because especially when I'm doing something, where in the old days when I was insecure and I didn't feel like I had direction, and then there's some young, you know, helpless little doe out in the forest that needs me to protect her, you know, then I feel validated and I feel strong, mm-hmm. and I feel like I have value and worth. Mm-hmm. And
right.
then at the end of the 6 months later,
she's banging one of your friends.
I'm looking, yeah, and I'm looking, trying to, how am I going to get her out of here?
She's banging Perry Farrell. Yes, if that's something he's into, I'm not exactly sure. He does like the gals sometimes, right?
He's married with another kid on the way.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Two kids, one on the way.
Holy Christ, how does that work? You know who I ran into today? All right, so for Joseph, God bless you, but be careful. You've only known her for 15 days, and there may be trouble.
And
here's why, don't crank any kids out.
Also, the other thing is,
in school.
You may want to reevaluate a person that you're hanging out with that's putting up, because basically what's happening is this woman that he's dating is sending the message to her family that it's okay to treat me like this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's necessarily the healthiest thing to get involved with somebody long distance that is sending that message to the people in her family. You got a handful there, pal.
You know who I ran into today at the poker tournament?
No.
Jim Rose from Jim Rose Sideshow.
I didn't see him.
Well, he's not a big man, and you wouldn't recognize him without his balls pulled over his head. See, I didn't know.
But talk about dealing cards. This guy has, you know, he's a winner with that.
I don't know what the hell. Jim Rose. This is Jim Rose from the Sideshow. He's the guy who started the whole Lollapalooza, put the nail through the scrotum sack stuff, and pick up the anvil with the penis and everything. And first off, we had this very corporate conversation about puppetry of the penis, which was nice. Like, hey,
today?
Adam. Yeah, it was great. It's like, Adam, how you doing, buddy? Jim Rose, where we met with Korn in San Francisco. Oh yeah, hey, how you doing there, bud? Yeah, good. Hey, what's doing? Are you still doing the Sideshow? No, I've got a taste of the puppetry of the penis. Oh, that was you, huh? Yeah, well, you know, we were doing the same thing, so I don't own the name, but I'm in for a taste. Oh, fantastic! That's great. So every time a guy
a
takes
taste
his,
of puppetry
his
of the penis
dork and ties it to a sheep shank, you get $1.50, or how's that? How's that work? I had a very corporate conversation with him about puppetry of the penis.
Wow.
And so, but the last time I
don't know if he'd want to say that he's in for a taste of that, though. It's
yeah, he probably should have said
reevaluate that.
Yeah. Wet his
percentage.
That
percentage.
Works.
Yeah, in percentage. He said, you know, the last time I was in San Jose, last time I saw Jim Rose, I was with Korn in San Jose, somehow bringing Korn out on in some record store. Jim Rose came out behind me and promptly tied his dork into a knot in front of a bunch of 13-year-olds.
Oh.
Then there was a big lawsuit, and I got called by the San Jose police department a week later. But he beat the lawsuit. It just cost a few grand.
And, hey, good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, listen. He landed on his feet. That's important.
Yeah, God bless him, you know?
Yes. Wife shoots fire out of her vagina. She
you discovered that night, yes. That was the night you learned that.
Yeah, we got to go to break. But I just got to tell you, I was sitting around a quiet moment with Jim Rose in San Jose. And I said, Jim, what's it like for you? I'm out on the road 300 days out of the year. Well, what about your wife? Do you miss her? Don't you want to go home? She's with me. Oh, she goes out on the road with you? Yeah, she shoots fire out of her vagina.
I think they have something for that, right?
Yeah,
dose of penicillin, or
when you actually see flames, though, it's a different matter.
That's nice.
And look into it.
The kids come too. They
watch this.
Yeah. What are they? They blow darts out of their ass at the model airplanes that buzz by. That's beautiful. All right. So saw Jim Rose, Dave Navarro here tonight.
Yes, sir.
Till Death Do Us Part. Right now on MTV Wednesday night, 10:30. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dave Navarro.
And I'm Dave Navarro.
Here tonight. Yeah, Dave Navarro joining us in studio tonight. Dave Navarro.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Help, thank you.
You can help me welcome back Dave Navarro.
I like that. After this, you do a voicemail for me. An outgoing message.
Leave an outgoing message?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Just a second. Do we have to check some weather?
First, I got to check the weather. Going south, blah, blah, blah. 63 degrees in El Segundo. 63 coming into Garza City. John Van Nuys checking in at 63. Laguna Niguel, 63 degrees. A big 63 degrees in Garza. Canoga Park coming in at 63 degrees. Studio City, 63. I like when they mix it up. Checking in, coming in at, checking in at. Like the goddamn city of Canoga Park all checked in at 63 degrees. And it's don't these guys just feel like tremendous holes when it moves a degree and a half and they cover several million square acres. You know, and they go like, Orange County checking in at 59 degrees. Van Nuys coming in at 60. It's 59 in Simi Valley. You've just covered 250 square miles and you've gone up a half a degree. Really? We got all over? Now you're going for a fourth. Oh, here we go. Santa Clarita coming in at 59.
They'll go from Santa Barbara to Oceanside.
Oceanside coming in at 59 and a quarter. Why don't you start breaking up into fractions? I'll give you more to do. Slow and go on the 110. Look out for brake lights. All right. Well, now that everyone's gotten a whole S-load of information they don't need, I can work on killing another hour and getting a paycheck. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. It's 7:59. That is 1 minute away from the top of the hour, 8 o'clock straight up. I like that. I love when they start getting into when you start getting into math, that means you got nothing to say. Them saying it's 7:45, that's 15 minutes away from the top of the hour.
Whatever
it's
really the equivalent. Anything, yeah.
It's equivalent of you going out on a date and going, I'm going to have the linguine and clams. What I'm not going to have is I'm not going to get the chili size. I'm not going to get the antipasto. Like, do you got to go over the whole goddamn menu and say what you're not getting? Just say what it is. It's 7:45. That's unclear. Huh? You're driving your car? 7:45. Huh? I wonder what it means
o'clock?
By that crazy ambiguous message. Yeah, 7:45 a.m. or p.m.? Huh? Is that military time? Huh. Where could I be right now? Jesus Christ, what's wrong with radio, Dave?
I'm learning as we go, right here.
That's right. And I'll tell you what, you kissed...
And you're doing a good job.
Thanks. You've kissed the right ass, my friend.
I know where to
Dave
go.
Dave Navarro kissing ass in studio tonight. Put your cheeks together. We're going to hear something off Jane's Addiction. What'd you think of that name? It's a kooky name. I love that name. That's a great name. Yeah. Anyway, hoping to get Jane in from the band possibly next week. She's a delight. We're going to hear something off the CD. CD's called Strays. Got a picture of the guys up front. Don't see Jane.
Now
we
got to go
we'll
break, though.
You look at that picture carefully,
mm-hmm.
You would think that that's an acoustic album where we... I don't know what happened there.
Oh, but contraire, it rocks.
It looks like a Dave Matthews album cover.
Yeah, it does.
Hey, kids, I hate to interrupt, but how long is the song?
Oh, Drew was talking too much.
We can't hear the song. We can pass on the song. Let's go to the phones.
We'll take a call. We'll go to break. Then we come back. We catch up with Dave Navarro.
Jane's Addiction.
We hear the
song.
Got
Jane coming down, Jethro and Pink.
That's right. Molly from Molly Hatchet's coming by on Tuesday.
Scott, 25.
A lot of guys tonight, I'm noticing.
Yeah.
All right. We can fix that, Dave. Let's talk to Linda. Yeah. Linda, line 5. Linda is 17. That's 23 years old. 23 away
from
40. Years
before.
That's 3 away from 20. What's up, baby doll?
Hi. I'm kind of like emotionally detached from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know why.
Because you're 17.
Something new happening, or you've always been that way?
No, well, it's been going on for probably like a year.
What do you mean by detached?
Like, I have, like, there's people I know at school, and when we go out, it's like I don't really want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not...
Well, but you don't want to be anywhere else either.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
Well, is that just depression?
Yeah.
Or
yes.
Mild
depression?
I
was just about to go with the old SSRI
discussion. Yeah, I think it's kind of depression.
So how about it, Linda? Maybe you're a little bit depressed.
Well, I'm not really sure because, well, sometimes I get a little depressed. Like, I just withdraw from everything and I don't want to do anything.
You know, that's getting severely depressed. But just the lack of enjoyment in previously enjoyable activities is a sign of depression.
Yeah, depression isn't necessarily like being legitimately bummed out all the time. It can be very, it just can
subtle.
Show itself in disinterest and, you know,
irritability.
Even the choice, we can go to the dentist or we could go to Disneyland and you don't care which one you go to.
Right.
That's depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and you might want to see a psychiatrist about that.
Yeah, it'd be good looking at Linda.
Well, because if I tell my parents, they're going to think it's some stupid teenage
thing. Then maybe tell somebody at school, to a counselor, or a teacher, or something.
You might be able to tell your parents. You feel tired, and you don't feel like you're enjoying things.
You can just go see a doctor. Say, listen, I don't feel good all the time, and they take you to any family practitioner or internist who should be able to ferret this out as depression. So,
yeah. Tell them that you're depressed, and you want to see a psychiatrist. And the other option is that you could take up the drums, and they will drive you right over to the office. Mm-hmm. Promise.
We'll take a break. Dave Navarro in the Hizzy tonight. Him and
Hell yeah.
Him and Jane's Electra got a marriage show out there.
Got a lot going on.
We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna hear a slice off his new pizza. That he dropped this disc just the other day. We're going to cut some vinyl, cut some wax, all after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Welcome in Dave Navarro back on Loveline.
I'm learning through this book that forearm skin makes a real good surrounding
replacement. That's not skin. That they take the muscle and the arteries and everything, and it becomes, they turn it into a penis.
It turns into a penis.
Yeah.
Drew, when Dr. Alter, the guy who lops off penises and puts vaginas that look like that,
here's how they created
M80s.
Oh, that's incredible. I'm much happier with the size of my forearm than my penis. Maybe there's something
maybe
I could do about
something.
This.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd call this guy.
Plus, it's great for like opening car doors and peeling things. Drew, let me just say real quick with the book.
Yeah.
Here's the two rules with the book. You either got to put the book away.
Or
you gotta set it up.
Right.
Drew likes to set. We have this book that Dr. Alter.
Yeah, I just went into it. I was
explaining.
Apologize.
That is the most grotesque book you've ever seen in your life. It is really. It's like one of those war injury books. It's a textbook about being a transgendered, just cutting off penises. Drew will set it out so the guests can find it. The guests will never.
Is that what this is? This is a prompting to.
Yes, he's hooked you up to a tumescence monitor, by the way. And
the funny thing is, for the past hour, I've just been looking at it without saying a word about it.
Dave,
fascinated.
The results have not been good for you, by the way. We just took a look at the graph. It's off the charts. But the point is, Drew will put the book out. The guests will inevitably flip it open, and then halfway into a call, the guest goes, "Ooh. Oh, my God, look at that." And then Drew goes, "Yeah, did you see that?" And then he points and bangs the mic, and no one knows what he's talking about. So, Drew, here's what I'm saying. Either you got to put the book away or you got to
set it up.
Or we can make this just like, you know, a firm setup for whenever you don't know what a guest is talking about. It's more than likely this book that we're discussing now.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And for those of you at home, it's called Reconstructive and Plastic Surgery of the External Genitalia.
And I just pulled
up. It's a fast read.
It's eye candy.
It's coming out on cassette.
Be fair.
So.
Adult and pediatric, they cut apart.
You were just looking at some pediatric stuff there.
That was kind of hot.
Yeah, it's nice. I also pulled something off the web, a Yahoo headline, that oral sex, there's an article coming out tomorrow. Oral sex linked to mouth cancer.
All right, that's all I
needed. Via the wart virus.
Oh, really?
So,
Oral sex for the fellas or for the gals or for
either
who?
Way.
Either way.
And I mentioned that to Anna. She went, "Oh, fantastic."
Yeah. So she's off.
Yeah.
Off the hook. All right. Well, next. All right, it's back to the hand. Put on the Playtex glove and get back the love. All right, let's hear something. From Jane's Addiction.
Let's do it.
Of course, Dave Navarro, a big part of Jane's Addiction. How did Jane's Addiction and then Red Hot Chili Peppers and then back to Jane's?
Mm-hmm.
Is that basically how it went?
Yeah, and that, in fact, we were discussing outside. That's kind of what's leading me to where I'm sitting today. But yeah, I started with Jane's when I was about 18 years old, went into Chili Peppers for about 5 years, left. And went back, and here we are.
How much better a guitarist are you now at 36 than you were at 18?
I think that my sensibilities are better, but I think that I was technically better at 18.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because at 18, I'm practicing all the time.
Really?
And now I don't pick up a guitar unless I'm playing with other musicians, and I think that there's a sensibility that comes from playing with other musicians on a continuous basis that... I don't know, it creates a sensibility to music and hearing things better. But
technically better at 18.
Technically, I could do things at 18 that I can't do now.
Just because you would lock yourself in your room for hours and not stop till you got it right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, here is the technically poorer Dave Navarro, but spiritually richer guitarist.
And I think it comes through.
And a little song called Just Because.
Was that unbelievable?
I tell ya.
That was something.
Are you? That is good technical guitaring, Dave.
Thank you.
You're being way too
modest. A little hard on myself there.
Way too modest. Yeah.
Perhaps I want to look at that.
When did you pick up the guitar first?
I was about 11 years old.
11.
Yeah.
And
I didn't look back.
Had a gift. I took to it.
I believe I took to it, and I think that I worked real hard at it and developed a gift. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you just have it. I don't know. I'm not one of those guys.
And what made you focus so much on it? Just
other things actually,
not going right?
Yeah, I think actually I turned to music to kind of just avoid like the monotony of life and perhaps some tragic events that happened in my life. It became my friend.
And,
you know?
And when was your first band? Was it Jane's Addiction?
No, my first band was in, you know, maybe ninth grade. I was with Steve Perkins from Jane's Addiction, and we had a speed metal band, and you know,
really?
it was around then we started playing the Troubadour, and so I've been
really,
yeah, since high school, just been playing clubs around L.A.
Oh man, what? By the way, there was always some guy who played the drums in like junior high or something. He's the coolest kid in the school.
Steve Perkins was that guy
immediately. Oh really?
Oh, the coolest guy in school.
Yeah, all you had to do was once a year there would be a talent show at school. All you need to do was a drum solo, and you were in. For
the rest of the year.
That was good. That was 1 year. You got a 1 year membership of cool.
But Steve,
and the next year, boom.
Steve didn't even have to do that because we didn't have talent shows. It wasn't that kind of school. They weren't that flexible. It was a private school. So all he had to do was walk around with sticks sticking out of his backpack, which created the mystique.
Right.
Oh, that's
that he
so
was,
funny.
You know what I mean? So that he just became even cooler than, you know, you have to imagine how cool he is.
Wow.
It's so cool, it's mysterious.
You know, see, that's the other thing. Like, once in a while, there'd be that kid who had a jersey, but it was like a motorcycle racing jersey or something, and he was the best.
Oh, yeah.
Motorcycle racer.
Because, you know, you would never see him do
exactly
whatever he did. I was just explaining to someone about this. This is a much better plan. And I know, Drew, you got to explain this to your boys. And your boys, I'm going to make them up a backpack. It's going to have drumsticks, motorcycle grips. It's going to have like a Taibo boxing gloves.
Yeah,
or something.
Absolutely.
Everything just hanging off of it.
That's the way to go.
And everyone's going to be like, they're going to respect him. They're going to fear him. Girls will worship him. It'll be great. But like we had one guy at our school. I went to school in, you know, North Hollywood. We had one guy who was into hockey, Jeff Katz. He wore a jersey.
But is that one of those
hockey
things that no matter how good you can imagine him to be, he's still not quite cool, isn't it?
Jeff Katz was still not quite cool, but the best hockey player any of us ever knew, even though we've never actually seen him play hockey, just because it was North
and
Hollywood.
You more than like,
hockey player.
Yeah, you probably more than likely didn't know any others.
Right.
So
of
course
guy,
he
owned his own
hands
skates
down the best.
He had to be the best. And of course, no one would ever call anyone on it because he'd just show up and start talking. He just wear his jersey and start talking about hockey.
Yeah.
And how he had a hat trick last weekend. Everyone just sit there and go, wow, that's amazing.
That's cool.
That's what you got to do with your kid.
You're right.
I don't know what that would be for your kid, though, Drew. Hey, it could be motorsports. Could be it'd be good, one of those crazy octagon fighting things, you know, that would be scaring the other kids.
Like those ultimate fighting challenges.
There's always that one kid who was into the martial arts or something there and was freaking
out. Oh, and he was
about
always the best, too. He could kick everybody's ass.
Trophies, yeah, crazy. Yeah, okay.
I had a kid in my school when I was growing up who was into martial arts, and he was Asian.
Oh, okay. Don't look at him. Down.
Look away.
Look at your feet. That's right.
Meanwhile, he was like 9 years old.
He weighed 60 pounds, but he was a tornado. Okay, true. Here's what I want your kid to wear. Okay. He wears a full gi.
Yeah.
With the belt, you know, the black belt and everything, right? Then, here's the other guy you had to watch out for. The guy wore those Bruce Lee slip-on shoes.
This guy wore those.
That's scary. And
I'm telling you.
If the big toe is sewn into it, look out. That guy, he'll take his foot, put it right outside your temple. You won't even know what's going on. Okay, they got to wear those shoes. Then the backpack with the gloves,
the
handlebar grips, and the sticks and stuff hanging out.
And a copy of Reconstructive and Plastic Surgery for the External Genitalia inside.
Right. That's right.
So in case it happens to open up, that falls out, you got it made.
Fresh repairs.
That's right.
You're getting laid
afternoon. And some kind of headgear with a bandana-based headgear thing going on, too. That's another badass thing. Chicks will worship him. The guys will fear him.
But you can't do that in high school.
No, high school doesn't work because
then you're asking for trouble. Yeah, you're asking for trouble.
You'll run into the other martial arts guy with the drumsticks hanging out.
Especially today with, you know, the guns and the whole thing.
No, that goes to junior high.
It's dangerous.
Okay. All right.
So we've set that straight.
Yeah. Evan?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yep.
Are you male?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. There's no Chick Evans anymore, are there?
I do know one.
Yeah.
I do. All right.
There we go.
What's happening?
Well, I've got a question for Drew and for Dave. Which one should I get first?
Bring it, Evan.
Go Dave first.
This is Dave here.
Dave.
Yes, sir.
I have been playing guitar for about two and a half years now. I was wondering why you prefer PRSs over Gibsons and Fenders.
What's a PRS?
PRS is, well, let's refer to the manual. It'll be right in here, chapter 48. No, PRS is Paul Reed Smith guitar. The reason I prefer those is because they're lightweight, lighter than a Les Paul. Mm-hmm. And they have a five-position pickup switch where I can get a single-coil sound out of it, but I can also get the humbucking sound out of it. So it's lightweight, and you know, I get a versatile sound out of it.
What's the humbucking?
I don't know. It's some. I never really got into it that much. I just know it sounds fatter and thicker.
Is part of these?
It's like there's two coils. It's not interesting to your listeners, but yeah, I'll answer your question. It's two coils. It's a fatter sound, and the single coil is like a Strat sound, and it's a little bit thinner and a little bit less smearish.
Is part of it stuff that you're just used to? You got started with, or you like it? You know what I mean? I mean, what percentage of it is, hey, this is the one I play, so it's the one I play?
Actually, in the studio, I'll play anything that's appropriate for the track. You know, I want a variety of sounds, so I'll play whatever I can get my hands on if it sounds right. But live, I need something that's versatile that I can pretty much duplicate those sounds throughout the night, throughout the set.
How about one of those double neck?
I have
one
of those.
You do?
I have a PRS double neck.
Does that work?
It works great. It's not comfortable to hold.
I see.
So what I like to do is I play my single neck guitar, but I have the double neck on a stand. Just in eyesight.
That's good. Yeah, people.
You know what I mean? So they know I have it.
They
can't imagine how
out of the backpack.
Out of the backpack.
Harkens
exactly.
Back to the drumsticks.
Smart. Evan.
Yep.
What's your question for Drew?
Okay. My penis is kind of weird. Say you're looking straight down at a picture of a penis, like right into the hole, then kind of like tilt the picture like 45 degrees, and that's kind of what it's like.
Wow.
That's a lot of math.
It's got the corkscrew.
Yeah.
It's a corkscrew, right?
Yeah.
Well, Drew, you never hear about that. We hear about bending down and left and right, but we never...
What are you saying? It's going like this?
It's twisting.
How do you masturbate?
It's twisting as you go along. Okay, all right.
That's a good question. And how have you been masturbating since you were a kid?
His palm is rifled from years of doing it.
No, just been rubbing it as any other guy, just cupped hand kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's your question?
Well, like, what can I do about it? Are there any problems?
No, just if you start having painful erection or trouble getting an erection, then you want to see a urologist, but I doubt you will.
See, urination must be, like, laser straight. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'm picturing, like, rifling in a gun, you know? Like, it's coming out like a quarterback throwing a football, you know what I mean?
This could be like a ballistic situation.
Yeah.
We can get into some, you know, forensic stuff.
How's that urine coming
awesome.
Out? Is it good and straight?
Not quite.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Is that a problem, Jerome?
Are you spraying all over the place?
No, it's not spraying, but it kind of like leans off to the left.
That's all right.
So if he urinated in public, forensic scientists could trace it back to the penis easily here.
He's been watching way too much.
David,
way too much. It's interesting.
Going berserk.
Also, I'm a diabetic, and I was wondering if insulin would affect me in any way.
What do you mean affect you? Whoa.
Affect
probably
your penis?
Whoa, hold on. What do you mean affect you?
Well, like... when I do eventually become sexually active, will it affect me in any way?
The insulin?
Yeah.
Well, do you have an understanding how your diabetes works?
Yeah.
Tell me how you what you understand.
Well, the insulin is absorbed by the blood glucose absorbers in the bloodstream.
You don't produce insulin, so you're just replacing what your body doesn't make. So how would the insulin cause you trouble?
I don't know, because it's not human insulin, so...
Well, it's presumably genetically engineered human insulin, right?
We milk it from corpses. Criminals.
What kind of insulin are you using?
Humalog.
Undesirable, actually.
The Huma part is human insulin. And the Humalog is the ultra-short acting, so you take it for meals, right?
Yeah.
Humalog. And do you understand... Yeah. And do you understand how the diabetes does its damage?
Pretty much by not... having pancreas kind of...
No. The damage is caused... The elevated blood sugar causes damage to the small blood vessels. And then that then damages the tissue, the nerves. And particularly with your concern with the penis, it can affect the arteries, it can affect the nerves. And if you don't keep very, very tight control of your blood sugar, yes, it will, over many years, it begin to affect your ability to have an erection and or feel anything in your penis even.
We'll have to come cut your leg off.
So the whole point is... You must take very meticulous control of your blood sugar so it's always in a proper range by using the insulin. Okay. All right.
All right. Yes. I'm agreeing with you. When it gets out of the range, it does damage.
Yes. Out of a normal range.
Real quick, let me just ask this. First of all, the reason I asked about the masturbation is I know some, I've heard stories of guys who have, you know, bizarre methods that
can
affect the cosmetic.
Can
affect the cosmetic
move it.
Function of the penis. But in terms of diabetes, what's borderline diabetic? Because that's what I am, and I don't have to take insulin. But I've been told I'm borderline diabetic.
There is no such thing.
I am diabetic.
There's a threshold. You're either over it or you're not. It's a fasting blood sugar.
Well, what if he's near the threshold?
Then maybe that's what it means.
How was that judged? How did that happen?
It was just done. It was a blood test 5 years ago. Maybe this is something I want to talk about off the air.
Fasting blood
perhaps?
Sugar? Fasting blood test?
I wouldn't know. No, it's not fasting.
Then you can't. It's uninterpretable then.
Really?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So I'm in the clear.
You're fine. What's the fasting one?
You have 12 hours without taking anything.
No eating?
No eating.
How about the booze?
No booze.
All right,
and now they have this hemoglobin A1C, which gives it an average over a couple of weeks.
All right, so here's what the point is if you get past this certain mark, you're diabetic.
Right.
But if Dave is up around that mark...
You're not.
Okay, but he's closer to it than I would be.
Maybe you might want to watch it a couple times,
but he
wouldn't stay up there.
Do anything with your diet or anything at all?
If you were overweight, you would, but if you're not underweight, you would.
But in this case, so in terms of the insulin and the penis issue... His penis would actually probably function better with the insulin.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Without insulin, it will be permanently damaged.
There you go.
All right. Danielle?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Has Maya already answered this question? Hello?
What's that?
Maya Angelou?
Maya Angelou? What?
Is that what you just said?
She said, didn't we already answer this question?
Yeah. No, I just...
We don't know your question.
Oh, well, I talked to some other guy. It sounds the same. I have a hard time getting orgasms. I have gotten, like, maybe two.
Boring.
Two.
All right.
Boring.
Are you drunk?
No.
This is how you always are?
Yeah.
Wow. That's tough.
I'm boring?
No. Do you have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Are you eating something now?
Chewing gum.
Okay, could you spit that out for just a moment?
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, baby doll. Oh, man. You got to send your gal to whatever finishing school, Dan.
Yeah.
We'll get that off the air. We'll figure out what school.
Finishing school?
Did you guys catch that Super Bowl halftime show?
No.
That was
heard about it.
Fantastic.
That was something.
Danielle?
Mm-hmm.
Does your boyfriend give you oral sex?
Yes, he does.
All right. And first off, let me apologize for calling this late in the evening. We didn't mean to disturb you. Tomorrow's a school day. We're sorry, babe.
I finished school today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Finished junior college?
No, I go to photography school.
A photography school.
Yeah, we have 7 weeks of pure stress and hell, and then we get a week to sleep and eat.
All right.
That's great. I would just say, you know what, relax, let him do his thing, and, all the best.
Hey, you've had two. Have the two you've had, have they been with this guy?
One of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't get it, because I'm turned on, I'm aroused, it feels good,
mm-hmm.
but nothing comes, and I don't know... What the hell that is?
What do you mean nothing comes?
No orgasm.
Well, I wonder if she... Some people confuse these things.
No, nothing comes out of you. She just means
no orgasm. No, I don't know. But I mean, nothing comes out like no orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you visualizing the right guys?
You got to picture Dave. Up on stage with his handle.
What you gotta get is that Johnny Depp pirate movie, throw that in the VCR, and then go for it.
No, you're much better.
Thanks, hon.
Hey, Danielle.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Oral sex is probably going to be your fastest route to an orgasm. And then, secondly,
how are you going to do that?
All right. Well,
okay. Here's another option: is to go to a sex shop, get one of those little vibrating deals.
Oh God, mm-hmm. No.
And you want solution here or what?
Yeah.
So hear me out here. Get one of those vibrating deals. Let him do his thing, and then you can hold that down on your clit. Mm-hmm. At the same time, and something's bound to happen. And if it doesn't, said,
Dave will buy it off.
Yeah, I could use that. Believe me.
Yeah, you do that underarm. You just do a quick wipe under the arm thing before you hand it to Dave.
And if that doesn't work, you know, like I said, in fact, for women with this problem, because this is a common problem,
mm-hmm.
I think there are certain stores that sell a package of those vibrating eggs. Yeah. It comes with a copy of the Johnny Depp pirate movie.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And you know, it's a package, and you get a special rate, and
yeah. I think
that'll work for you.
Yeah. Costco is really obviously a good deal.
Can I say something
real
quick?
No. I want to ask you something. Shut up.
Ask him.
What do you do in photography school, by the way?
Don't go there.
I want to know.
Yeah.
You cut her off.
That's gone.
Hey, what?
That's it.
Hey, Anderson, put her back on the
she
line.
Did you hear her say F you? I had to cut it. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't hear
her
F you.
Yeah,
she said
shut up, like, and she said, oh, F you.
Yeah. Oh, she said the whole word?
Yeah, she's a horrible person. We shouldn't talk to her.
I think it's safe to say she's a horrible person. All right. And now listen, when I ask if someone's drunk, this is me giving them their out.
Yeah, she seemed loaded to me. That's
because, A, talking. Listen, your speech is slurred, you're bitch and a half, and you have the attention span of a Duraflame log, and you're stone cold sober. That's brain damage.
Yeah, no wonder you can't have an orgasm.
You should pray you're drunk. Mm-hmm. More, and forget about booze. Mix some heroin and speed in there too. You know, it's giving you the out. It's like when the cop goes, "Is your speedometer broken?"
Yeah.
After you punch your fist through it, yes, it is. All right, Dave Navarro, hanging with us. Hey, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Can you stick around a little bit?
Actually, I gotta catch a plane. I always love it when they do that.
Sorry. Okay, Dave, no, we really appreciate it.
I've always wanted to say that. I got a plane to catch.
You got
to
get off the sofa. I understand. Hey, buddy. Great. Good luck to you.
I'm out of here. Thanks for having me. Once again, Wednesday's 10:30.
Say hi
to us, Park.
Say hi to Jane for me.
You got it.
Carmen and the Electras is the name of the band. They're coming to town near you. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, Loveline.
Oh, yeah.
Amazed, my good partner, Dr. Drew, over there. Dave Navarro here from Jan's Addiction.
What's up, y'all?
He's coming to the studio tonight. I'll tell you, these kids can rock. I'll tell you what, right now, this guy swings a pretty mean axe. You know, I'll tell you what, he's got the double necker up there on stage. And
it looks fantastic.
I'll tell you. What time is it, Drew?
It's 11:31. What's that?
29 away from the top of the hour.
Yes. Oh, now that's 28:45.
Away from the top of the hour.
Yes. Yes.
All right, and that'd be midnight.
No, 28:30.
That's straight up. That's midnight.
Straight up midnight.
All right, and that'd be 8 hours and 29 minutes away from 8 a.m. What's the date?
25th.
What is that? 3 days away from the top of the month.
29 minutes from the 26th.
So tomorrow will be
the 26th. So it's 29 minutes away from the 26th, which would be 2 days away from the end of the month, which would be 1 day away when we get to that point from the 1st, and then eventually we're all going to die. That's fantastic. All right.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's hop to the... Dave, can you hang out? Can you stay with us for a few minutes?
Well, what time is it?
What time are you playing? What time's your plane?
It's 28 from the top of the hour right now.
Right.
Where's the plane leaving? I know you're a busy guy.
Well, it's leaving on the 26th.
Dave's been kind enough to hang out with us here.
So that's what, 28 minutes from now.
28 minutes from the top of the hour?
I can hang out for 28 minutes.
Okay.
You got it.
You're taking a 727?
It's a 777.
777?
Yeah, they go a little bit faster.
All right, 777?
777.
Drew, you know,
far I've been
seven,
a while,
777 is from an 800.
Wow.
No,
I literally just went across that.
23 away from an 800. That'd be 8 o'clock. That'd be straight up. That'd be the top of the airplane. All right, let's get back to the phones. LAX checking in at 59, by the way. It's rainy out there, so you may want to wear a jacket. I like that one, too. I like the subtle apparel suggestions. There's a 250-mile-an-hour wind coming in and hail balls.
Make sure and bundle up.
Size of raccoons. You may want to put on a sweater. Hey, thanks. I was going to go out in a Speedo and Zoris, but you're saying it's minus 28. I should put a jacket on. Mm-hmm. All right, fantastic. Where were we before these guys were telling us to put sweaters on and doing the math for us on the clock? Christy?
Yeah.
Hi, Christy.
21?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I have this problem. I have to beg my boyfriend to go down on me, and most of the time he still won't do it.
Wow.
Have you tried shaving down there?
Oh, I always do.
Oh, well,
wow.
Then,
yeah.
What does he say the problem is?
Clearly, he's gay.
What did he say the problem is?
Well, you know, sometimes he'll say, like, oh, I don't like to do it because my jaw hurts or something. And then, you know, he'll make up some stupid reason. And like,
there could be some funky smell coming from your job. I'm not kidding you.
You know, I even asked him that.
That was Mr. Perry Farrell.
Mr. Perry Farrell in studio tonight. Oh, no, wait.
Hey, I love a kid for trying.
Chrissy?
Yeah?
What's his nationality? Maybe there's an ethnic problem here.
Just white.
Aha! No, those are the guys. That's the number one race. Let me tell you other races about something. You, some of you may be better at basketball, others better at soccer. We got going down on chicks, us whiteys. Yeah, that's the number one race for going down
on
chicks.
Why is that?
I'll tell you why.
I want to know.
We overcompensate. We have the smaller.
Oh, that's a good point.
Smaller genitalia.
That's a good point.
We don't got the six pack abs.
Good point.
We got a little hair on the ass. You know, let me tell you something about the black man. He disrobes. He's got no hips. He's got the six pack. He has a smooth.
I heard
brown
something
ass.
About that. The reason
we got to compensate.
And this sounds in
go
poor
ahead.
Taste, but. You know, it's late, and, you know, it's only, 26 minutes to the hour. So, in that case, I'll go there. Is it true, and I'm directing this to you, Dr. Drew, that the reason why there is such a high volume of black sports figures is because when they were shipped here from Africa as slaves, the lords picked the more physically fit slaves?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Not only that. But
it's probably a terrible issue for me to bring up right now.
Yeah, but who
especially
cares?
When this girl is, you know, clearly has a gay boyfriend.
You got to figure the wimpy ones. A lot of the wimpy ones died off.
Didn't survive.
That's what I'm saying.
There was some. Awesome,
yeah.
But there was so much adversity that only the strong survived too.
Right.
So the bros you got left, you got the Viking gene.
But see where I'm going with this, mm-hmm. because this goes back to the white men going down and being much better at it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe what really happened was not that the strongest ones were picked,
mm-hmm.
but the ones with the largest penises.
Interesting.
That's a twist.
That's another theory of mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, what do you think? Controversial. Dave Navarro, see, a very controversial Dave Navarro. He's got to catch a plane in 28 minutes. What do you think, Drew?
I think it's 11:35 and 55 seconds.
Is it possible just the ones with the largest penises?
What about the penis? What about the penis, Drew?
There also tends to be in warmer climates.
Yeah, guys do better.
People are lengthened out. Humans are lengthened out, and appendages tend to be longer.
Yeah. Hmm. I guess my dad was an Eskimo. Christy?
Yeah.
World's only Italian Eskimo. All right. You are going to have to tell him that he needs to do this because you like it, and it's important for him to do things that you like. And
otherwise, the things
and
that he likes.
And important for you to do things that he likes.
But you're not going to do those things unless he reciprocates.
I've told him all that.
Yeah.
But then you went ahead and did the things he likes, and he's still withholding from you.
Right.
That's the problem.
Don't do the things that he likes.
I just, when it comes to bargaining in the bedroom, I just think that it's already, that's a recipe for disaster.
It's sad, yeah. It's sad when it's happening.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Christy?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I like to stick with begging. But you don't want to,
Well, begging's okay. Bargaining is, you know.
Bargaining. Hey, Christy, you're 21. How long have you been with this guy?
9 months.
Gives new meaning to the word tat.
Maybe this isn't working.
I think this one's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. You've been with him 9 months. You got to take a pistol and whip.
And they've only been together 9 months?
Yeah, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has got at least, like, kick up, you know, the behavior for a good year.
It's a bad sign. Dump him. At the nine-month mark, you should be at a dinner table on a Passover with your parents. He should pretend to drop a fork and go down on you under the table, rubbing up against your dad's knee. That's where you should be at 9 months.
Well, nine months is a good. It's always a good place to make that decision.
It is
because it's the gestation time.
Ooh, that's it. It's very symbolic.
This is a rebirthing process that happens there.
Start over.
Dave Navarro, after years of therapy, coming in with some serious revelations. Drew, I know he's got to catch a plane in 29 minutes. Here's the thing.
10, 20 seconds.
Yeah, and also, chicks got a weird thing about once they get to a year. Once a relationship gets to a year, it's like it'll go another year, even if it was doomed at the end of the first year.
That's just true.
Symbolically good to say, if you break up at 9 months, you might as well just be 6 months. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You get past the year, it's like, oh, I wasted a year of my life with this guy. Break it off. I don't like this guy.
Marion, 18.
Marion.
Yes?
Hi, Marion.
What's happening?
I've never had a boyfriend. I've only kissed one guy in my entire life, and I just...
want to know if my dad has any effect on why I'm so confused about guys.
Always.
Yes. Why? And, what'd your dad do?
My mom and my dad divorced like a couple months after I was born, and he's from Nigeria, and their culture is really different. Like, they don't show their emotions or anything. He doesn't show his emotions towards me, and I just feel really rejected by him and the entire
abandonment and rejection.
Yeah, that's very profound.
Right off the bat.
But you're lucky he didn't do a little circumcision job on you. We can't judge culturally. All cultures are great, beautiful, and exactly the same, or just different, but none worse than others. But you're still lucky to have your clitoris, you know.
So you got that going for you.
You got that going for you, right.
I mean, is there any hope for me or anything?
Yeah, of course there is.
Sure.
Yes, of course.
But look, here's the thing there, ladies. Your dad is not every man. And I know it's hard to unwire that.
Yes.
Most every woman we speak to, you know, if they like their dad, they like guys. And if they don't like their dad, they just have sex with a bunch of guys.
Well, also they tend to act out the traumas over and over. So she's going to be longing for and attracted to unavailable guys.
That's right.
Guys.
But the fact that she's 18 and not acting out
is a good thing.
Yeah. Why is that, do you think, Marianne? Are you? Is there a reason why you're not acting out?
I don't know. I guess watching my other friends and seeing their mistakes kind of makes me stay away. Mm-hmm. But
can I interrupt you, honey? Here's one thing about that, which it's great you don't act out, and it's great that you don't, you know, sleep around and have casual sex. But at the same time, it's like you don't want to run your life based on fear. Mm-hmm. And another thing is that, you know, if you don't take a chance and you don't learn, you know, you're going to rob yourself of a lot of growing experiences for when the right guy does come around.
And if you can't have a real relationship, then that's time for therapy. That's how that works. That's what it could be sorted through potentially very quickly.
You know, because the way I look at it is like things either work out or they don't. But ultimately, I'm cool either way, you know, but I gain from an experience.
Marin, we were just floating this theory earlier. Is your dad big downstairs?
Oh, please.
Well, Dave wanted to know.
Yeah, I'm just, you know.
You don't know.
Because that could have a strong impact, literally.
Here's the deal. How often do you see him?
The last time I saw him was a couple of years ago for Christmas, but I've talked to him, and he just acts like he doesn't love me at all, and he has another daughter. But he shows her lots of love and affection.
Yep.
I hope you understand that that's his issue and has nothing to do with you.
And I bet she
and
feels
believe
as though,
me,
she'll
be in the therapist's office one day, too.
Yeah.
So, listen,
it's the same
you have a mom who loves you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
That's one out of two ain't bad. And I'm sorry, but, yeah, a little therapy and whatever Dave said, do it. But here's the whole thing, too. If you
get
don't have that
the,
dad.
When you, I feel phrase and... prepare yourself for that, because that's going to come.
Here's the thing, young chicks out there. You at 17, 18, 19 are not going to change guys that are in their 40s and 50s. Mm-mm. They're going to their grave. If you're going to become that guy who miraculously loves his children, that'll happen about 30, if it is going to happen, and it hasn't. And that window's long since painted shut, and the ship has left the harbor.
Yeah, I mean, the deal is with your dad there, is like he's got some issue from when he was younger that's affecting him and how he's able to deal with this, just like this is affecting you, and it's time to stop the cycle, because eventually you're going to have children of your own, and you're going to be kind of in this mixed-up boat.
That's right.
Just like, go take some chances and go meet some people and interact.
I'm going to take a chance and ask Dave Navarro if he can hang around for
one more break.
I had
to look at the clock.
Look at the clock? What time is it, Dave?
You know, I got it about 18 minutes.
18
about 17
minutes?
And a half.
Away from the top of the hour?
Till the top of the hour.
And 7:27 leaves at
12:05.
7:07.
5 minutes into the 26.
23 away from an 800. All right. Dave Navarro, you heard it. Going to hang out with us in studio. Drew, you're going to be here when we return?
I'm thinking, yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after we pay some bills. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dave Navarro in studio. And Dave, can you hang with us for just a couple of more?
Yeah, I got about 13 minutes left in me.
Is there 13 away from the top of the hour?
Until the 26th.
All right. He's got to say, what were the 26th?
I'm going to be out of here by the 26th.
Right. The day changes at the top of the hour. That'll be, it'll go to the 26th. There's 28 days in February.
Nice.
So then we're 2 days away from the top
of the month. What actually becomes the next day
We're coming away.
We're at the top of the hour, but it's still dark out.
It's still dark outside. We'll be changing.
So it's confusing, but it's a new day, actually.
Once we spring forward, when I say 26 minutes from the top of the hour, it'll be an hour and 26 minutes from the top of the hour, right?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, that'll happen.
All right. Boy, they must love that clock-changing thing. They must do like a whole week on the clock change. you guys, this clock, I say it every year. First off, Drew and I get horribly depressed when we lose that hour.
I don't like it either.
We're going to lose it, right?
I don't like it.
We're pushing it ahead.
I'm starting to get depressed now just about that. It's coming in 2 months.
What's coming? It gets darker earlier?
It gets lighter, darker later.
Dave,
I like that.
You're a rock star, buddy.
But you lose the hour that weekend in order for that to adjust.
Oh, that's not good.
That's that whole thing.
Yeah,
when you're going to bed Saturday night at 2:45, it's 3:45.
I don't like that.
And when you wake up at 11 in the morning, it's noon. Yeah,
that's not good.
That's rape. And by the way, I've we've discussed this many times, Drew, but that's how I know I'm a loser. How I lament over that hour. It's like a child I've lost.
Oh,
I'll never get it back. You can never replace it.
Well, that Saturday night is basically like, you know, the Sunday night before school.
Yes.
For us.
Yes. And for those
Or the last day of summer.
Yep.
Those of us who hated school Monday, so it'll always be a devastating day. And you know what they ought to do?
I never like a Monday, and I've been out of school for 25 years.
That's right. And I'm the same way. And that's why, and that'd be more sensitive to bad students like Dave and I, and start school on a Tuesday.
Ah. I like that idea.
Yeah, but we would learn to hate Tuesday, but coming off a 3-day weekend,
wouldn't be that bad.
Right. Or, you know what they should do with school? Move it around. Starts on a Monday one week, and next week starts on a Thursday, then it's Tuesday, then it's back to Monday.
Not a bad idea.
We would hate all the days just a little instead of despising the one day.
We can hang out. You know, I can move my flight. We can riff on this later.
We'll jam on this.
Yeah, if you
I'll
like
get
that.
My double neck riff comedy axe and swing it with you. Valerie?
Yeah.
Oh, baby, what's wrong?
I'm trying to get my act together and trying to figure out which one of the gentlemen I'm dating I want.
All right. How many are you dating?
It's a problem of abundance right there.
Well, yeah. I'm dating two. And
you know, we had a caller earlier who couldn't even land one boyfriend. Perhaps the two of you could get together.
Tell us about these guys. Why are you having such trouble deciding?
Well, one of them, he is just turned 34, and the other gentleman, he's 31.
You're 20.
Uh-huh.
You don't think these guys are a little old for you?
Well, I tried dating guys closer to my own age, and it was almost like I used to be real busy working in politics with my mom and I ended up liking people much older than me.
Hmm.
And so
that seems sort of oblique. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this, Drew. She's 20 years of age. That's 5 years away from 25.
Oh, that makes it so much clearer. Thank you.
Valerie, well, if you worked with your mom who was in politics, well,
yeah,
then that explains
it
all.
That sounded just like total BS.
And I'm what's your mom do in politics?
Oh, she just works for parties and stuff and has parties and stuff.
It really makes me wonder what's going on in Power 106.
I just
need
to hang around the older people more.
Dave Navarro in studio tonight. Hey, Valerie?
Yeah?
Yeah, you sound depressed and like life has chewed you up and spit you out at 20.
Well,
that politics is a tough racket.
It really is.
Well, it's been kind of, you know, I just been trying to decide which one of the two guys I wanted to go with.
Have you made a pros and cons list of each one and looked at that? On paper, literally done that. Sat down on paper, pros and cons of each guy. Look at that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I tried that.
It evened out.
All right, hold on a second.
Valerie sounds like a robot.
Well, you know,
empty.
Is Valerie bragging because she's got a big ass? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know what? That robotic empathy thing that you sound like, you know, she's primed for a political position.
That's right. It's true.
So, right.
She's definitely in the right direction. Juggling guys, politics.
Valerie?
You're set, hon.
Pardon me?
You big gal?
No.
Big ass, though, right?
No.
No?
Not really, no.
Not really. How much you weigh?
Right now, I weigh 128.
All right.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'4".
All right.
Okay.
And what about now?
Right now.
171.
You know what, Valerie?
All right.
If you can't decide, right... And you're not sure, then that really kind of tells me that neither one of them is a winner.
Absolutely.
So why not just go with the one that pleases you better sexually until the guy comes along?
They're both older, way older than
listen,
you.
Yeah, listen, we'll decide. Take number one. Take the taller.
Yeah, the 31-year-old.
Whoever's taller. Take the younger one.
Yeah, the 31. That's what I say. Go with him.
Go with the 31-year-old?
Yeah, go with the 31.
Yeah, you got it.
And never call the show again.
Good luck to you.
Okay.
Well, by the way, you would trash our callers. My caller, our callers, our listeners, probably not our callers, came to my rescue at Amazon. Remember I was complaining about the reviews last night for Cracked?
Mm-hmm.
They wrote some very nice...
Drew wrote a book.
I wrote a book called Cracked.
And what were the bad reviews?
I had a lot of good ones, but then a couple bothered me last night that they were so ridiculous, and I just wanted to respond to them, but you couldn't.
Yeah, but if you're going to buy into those, and if you're going to buy into the good ones, you got to buy into the bad ones, and then it just becomes a whole thing.
But anyway, a lot of our listeners came to my rescue, so it was nice.
Felt good.
I'm waiting for the movie, though. That's going to be good.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Paramount's interested in that, right?
Mm-mm.
No. No, they ought to be. All right.
Let's take a little break. Dave, you going to stick around?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
He needs to go.
Dave needs to go. Dave's got to catch a flight.
I just, you know.
Yeah.
Let me take a look at that screen. I'll let you know.
Take a look at the screen. We're going to take a quick break. We're up against a break here, Drew. Drew, you sticking around?
I think I might.
You know, these 2 hours used to fly right by.
I know. Dave's very disillusioned with the show, by the way. Doesn't like me. Doesn't like the callers anymore. You know what it is? You're sober. That's what it is. And everything's like pulling teeth now.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. You stick around. Dave Navarro's going to hang out with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, there you go. That's the show, buddy.
Speaking of that, I got to run.
You got to run? You got to catch a flight?
Dave, I got to catch a flight.
Thanks for dropping into the studio.
You're welcome.
Doors, thanks
for having me.
Doors always open.
Thank you.
Always open.
You
come by anytime. The great Dave Navarro, Jan's Addiction, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the whole thing, boy.
Incidentally,
I really dig your scene, buddy.
I welcome you guys into the 26th.
Oh, what,
thank you.
Feel it.
Oh, yeah.
We're two days away from the top of the calendar.
All right. So, until next time, who's in here tomorrow night, Drew?
Simple Plan.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Those are my main men. So, Dave Navarro, buddy. Seriously, God bless Dave Navarro.
Thanks, fellas.
Until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
So, he gets an A for effort and a D for dumb.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.